Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Screen Geeks Film Snob. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And, you know, this is the weekend that WALL-E came out, and interestingly enough, I really think it's quite appropriate that that we're talking about The Red Balloon this week, because I think it has a lot to do in common with WALL-E.
Definitely. This is a film in which an inanimate object, if you can call it that, becomes the main character, essentially, and your heart breaks, and you just completely love this being, which, you know, you would say has no soul, and yet this is the magic of cinema. And this is one of those movies I would always say, you know, this is such a prime example of just the magic of movies. It's a short film. It's only about 34 minutes long, and
it goes by really quickly.
Yes, it does.
It absolutely does. This movie came out in 1956. It's never had a home video release until the Criterion Collection put it out. Mm. They put it out with, I think, two or three other kids' movies, which is extremely cool. But I was talking to a buddy of mine. We used to do Game Crazy Radio together. Mike brought up that we were going to be talking about The Red Balloon. He's like, I saw that in school. And apparently after this movie was released, the company made it really cheap 16mm prints available to schools. Yep. So a lot of people, if you went to school like through the 70s or 80s, there's a very good chance that you saw this. Yep. Had this movie been made today, I think, first of all, it wouldn't have been as remarkable, and second of all, it wouldn't have had as much heart.
It would have had CGI balloons for one.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The things they pull off with the... Oh.
Talking.
Sorry, I had to go there.
Larry the Cable Guy would have been one of the voices. And...
He'd have been the red one, so he'd be the red neck. Okay. Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, that kind of...
Right now, some Hollywood executives like, keep going, yes, I smell a hit.
No, that's Adam Sandler, it's a blue balloon, and it's like Chuck and Larry, but it's red and red blue balloon.
He finds out he's like a gay balloon or something. Yeah, I think that'd be
okay, great. Wow.
All that's good and classy about this movie gone now.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now I can't pronounce this director's name.
It's, Albert Lamorisse.
Okay.
I believe it's Albert Lamorisse.
Yes, he actually used his son to play titular Pascal.
Yeah, Pascal. Yeah.
Yes, the main kid. This is such a cute movie. I watched this with my mother-in-law and my wife, and my mother-in-law, she's not a foreign film buff by a long shot. She got hooked on that thing. It was great. It's about this poor, sad, lonely boy without any friends who has a red balloon come into his life with its own mind.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I don't know. You adore this movie. I'd like to let you talk.
You know, it sounds completely ridiculous, and I guess in a sense it is, but it's so beautiful. One of the things about this movie that is so amazing is that there's essentially no dialogue. Basically no dialogue.
I think there are about 12 or 13 lines total.
Total, and it's not
none of
focal
it's
point.
All that important.
It's a magical film because you could show it anywhere in the world, and it doesn't matter what language you speak, the movie it is the language of cinema. Mm-hmm. It certainly speaks to the audience that way, and it tells its story that way, and you become connected to the boy and the balloon because of the imagery. And what's strange is that looking at the special edition notes here, I didn't know this, that it won the best original screenplay Oscar in 1956. How crazy is that for a movie that essentially has no dialogue? It's all
for
plot.
A short, too. That's
yeah.
34 minutes short with no more than 12 lines of dialogue.
But that's the power of this movie. I'll say briefly to get personal for a second. I grew up with this film. My father had the little golden book of the movie that he introduced to me when I was very young. He gave it to me and basically read it to me as a story. And then, as you mentioned, the reel-to-reel, he had a projector at home, so that's the first time I ever saw it. And a reel-to-reel.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, excuse me, my dad and my parents both put together this special red balloon night when I was something like 6 or 7 years old, and we watched The Red Balloon on this little projector, and that's the first time I ever saw it. And sure enough, this was a movie that I had heard about in schools, just as that it's a great example of how movies can transcend language, and that, you know, this is a movie that people in Japan and Norway and all over the planet just love this film.
Yes, and you know, it's the little scenes that make the most of it. When Pascal and the red balloon go walking by the little girl with the blue balloon, and the red balloon suddenly takes off and goes out to the blue balloon, it's such a sweet moment. Yeah. And, I mean, I can't imagine how hard this movie was to make.
Yeah.
Just because, since there is no CG, it's all with little wires and strings that they made this balloon come to life.
How many red balloons, died in the making of this film?
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
99 love balloons.
Wow.
Sorry, I should just shut up.
that was very perfect.
What did you think of this, Josh?
Oh, I loved it. Like I said, it went by really quickly. I was like, it's probably halfway through, and I was like, I think it's only been like 5 minutes. I looked down, it was like 15. I was like, damn. But yeah, it was awesome.
the way that there was an actual relationship between this balloon and the boy, you know, I mean, there's a point where you can say, oh, it's just the wind acting up. And then for like the first 5 minutes, you kind of say that to yourself, and then it hits a point, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, the special effects, if you can call them that for this movie, are pretty incredible. The balloons really, and there are more than one. Minor spoiler. The movie, it really does. They do seem to have a life of their own. And the puppeteering that they did is really incredible and seamless. I couldn't see any strings.
Yes.
Which is kind of impressive for a movie where, you know, it's a kid in a balloon. I mean, how much trickery was involved? Apparently quite a bit.
In the mid-50s, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'll ask you a question. I'm going to try to be so non-spoilery, but people who have seen this have probably thought the same thing. Near the end, when there is a conglomeration, did you think it was going to turn into like the scarabs from The Mummy? Were you kind of hoping that would happen?
There was ants from Indiana Jones.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I was kind of thought that. I didn't think it was going to happen. Of like, oh, if this was made by a different person, like if Tarantino made this movie, that's what would happen. But it was the way it ended was absolutely adorable too, I thought.
As a child, I don't think I ever thought
that. No, happening. I'm saying that as now, the 31-year-old man. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Tarantino is red balloon.
That's in the next Grindhouse.
Yeah. They're actually white balloons in his film, but they become red over the course of the films.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of like where blue's the new red? Sorry.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yes. So do we want to talk about the quick correlation between Wally and the red balloon?
Yeah, it's pretty extreme, actually.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even think about it till this morning. I'm like, oh, we should talk about the red balloon. Whoa. Because Wally is generally a silent film through the first half of it.
Yeah.
And is just a robot doing its thing, and they imbued it with a soul. It's probably a bit easier, honestly, to do with Wally than they did with the red balloon, but the red balloon seemed like it has its own soul, too,
yes,
for lack of a better term.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just thought it was a really cool correlation.
It's a similar idea of this inanimate object, again, seemingly inanimate object that not only changes the life of one individual, but the world that the movie creates, it changes the whole course of that world that we're seeing unfold.
Yes, so. And as we said, this is a Criterion release. Unlike many that are like $30 or $40, since this is a short film, there are really no extras except for the essay. I think the retail price is like $15, so you can pick it up for $10 or $12 pretty regularly. Well worth the investment. It's a very fun movie. If you have kids and want to introduce them to film, I can't think of something better to do.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Okay. You mentioned the scene where the red balloon and the little blue balloon make that connection. They did there was a short film, you know, they always do it every year at the Oscars. There was a short film that they did where they showed all the great moments of movie history, like, you know, James
Did they
Stewart
do that
running.
This year?
It was either this year or the last year. They included that moment.
Really?
It was like right in between like James Stewart running through the crop field, the psycho.
It was probably this year because this was the year with all the montages.
Yes, you're right. So yeah, it was. They actually showed that brief moment where the balloons connect, seemingly kiss. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Yep. So yes, check it out. It's awesome. I'm so happy I bought this blind.
Yeah.
I bought it off your recommendation. I was like, okay.
Glad that one worked.
Yes. It's all good. So, okay. You know all the email, call us, blah, blah, blah. So we won't go through all of it. We won't waste any more of your time today. But until next time, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.